أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفة واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. As discussed previously, this is a complete new subject. Up to now, the discussion was with regard to the battles of Badr and the battles of Uhud. And before that, that Muslims must remain firm and not share their secrets and become socialized and become close with non-believers. Even the munafiqeen, where they trace that, they should keep away totally from them also. However, some ulama have explained the connection between the two subjects and the ayats, that as far as jihad is concerned, Allah Ta'ala gave the command, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you have sabr and taqwa, Allah will help you tremendously in jihad, with some asbab, means of the malaika, etc., or without any asbab also. Allah will help you. That is what you must have. Then in the difficult situations of jihad, no matter how much more stronger the enemy is, as far as their power or their means are concerned, their weapons, etc., their numbers are concerned, their strategy is concerned, you don't have to worry at all about that. Allah will take care of that, of all of that. One glaring example of that is when Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahmatullah alayhi, who had conquered Baytul Muqaddas and brought the masjid back in the hands of the Muslims from the Christians. And this was a pearl, a bitter pearl, which the Christians cannot swallow till today, because the birthplace of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is also there in Jerusalem, and therefore they claim the rights to have it. So anyway, after he had established the Islamic law there, they prepared themselves again to come when they were expelled, and they prepared their armies, all their strategy, with a huge, huge force. And outwardly, there was no doubt that they will overpower and overrun Salahuddin Ayyubi. So when the news came, Salahuddin Ayyubi made Bashura with all the generals of his army. They also all backed down, and they also refused to fight against the Christian army. Now he was left all alone, and one man, how is he going to fight that huge army that had come with all its preparations? But however, one close friend of his told him that between Adhan and Namaz, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So he made, and it is evident with what fervor, what passion he made dua. Allah accepted his dua, and Allah solved the whole problem so easily that huge Christian army, very well prepared with all its strategy, Allah put differences between them. And they started arguing and fighting amongst themselves, and the question of coming to Baytul Muqaddas was gone right out of their head. They just fought amongst themselves. In this way, Allah Ta'ala helped. So what we must have, sabr and taqwa. So yeah, Allah teaches that in your financial matters, money matters also, have the sabr and taqwa. Stay away from all haram in your money matters also. And for all your business, all the success of your business, have also sabr and taqwa. Sabr, don't look how other people might be outwardly flourishing with interest money. You make sabr and you carry on with your halal money, though it may appear to be small and little bit, and have taqwa. As you have taqwa in jihad, you are supposed to have, and no matter what odds are against you. In the other ayat before this also, Allah said, when in the battle of Badr, when the Muslims were fighting, and then the news came that the non-Muslims, the Kuffar, there another huge army is coming to join them. So the Muslims were again frightened that a huge army is coming now. We are just managing to fight with these people and another huge army. Allah Ta'ala said again, you just have sabr and taqwa, Allah will take care of those people also. And so Allah did also. So here also, don't see the businesses of the non-Muslims, don't see their lifestyles, etc. You have sabr, you carry on in the correct way of deen, your businesses, your homes, your living. And one basic principle of deen is bazaza. That means simplicity. And when Allah gives anyone more, it isn't to squander the money. Least of all on haram things, even on halal things. But it is to help out those who are less fortunate. That is why Allah gives some more and the others less. Not to use it all for themselves. Allah makes them the means to help out other people. So have that taqwa and have that sabr also. So in your business also have that. This is the great connection between the two. Another very important point here also is that in the days of ignorance before Islam, the business with interest was widespread. It was very common. And individual business people also took loans on interest and they did their business. And the communities together also clubbed together, like what we call a company today, to form a company. So that also they should do with interest, on interest-based business. And it was very common, and that interest was not only a certain amount, but it was compound interest, which is the number or the amount of it just increased all the time. That time also, and even till today, if you take interest, the one thing, what is interest? You take a loan of 1,000 rand and you are expected to pay back 1,050 rand, 1,100 rand. And then when you cannot pay and you say you want more time, they give you more time, but now they increase the interest amount. Like this, they keep on increasing it until whatever loan you took, and it is now to the value of the property for what you took the loan. Then they just take that property away from you. And till today, that is what the banks do. When you cannot pay now, they just take away your property. So that interest, whether it was an individual-based interest, that was also totally haram. And the company-based and the bank-based interest, which that time just had a different name, but it was operation was exactly as it is today also. Only it had a different name. That is also totally haram. And a person cannot involve in any of that type of interest. It's a very, very sad thing, the way we are living in all our aspects. By and large, Muslims also today just deal with the banks. Overdraft is a common thing. A person is happy, I got an overdraft facility of so much. Or to bond something to the bank. And Muslims, good Muslims, who are regular with namazes, we are also involved in all this type of thing. This is what Allah Ta'ala warns here, that no type of interest, little or lot, whatever in form it can be, it is not permitted at all. Another very interesting point the ulama point out here, which is also very important, is that in this battle, when Mashura was being made, whether we should go and fight with the enemy, etc., then Abdullah ibn Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqeen, his opinion was we should not go and fight. And when the battle started, he had a following of 300 people out of 1,000 of the Muslims. Then he turned back, so the Muslims, their power was cut down by another third, 300 out of 1,000. They left the battlefield and they went away. Seeing them, two tribes of the Ansar, the Banu Salima and the Banu one other tribe, they also were thinking of turning away. And Abdullah ibn Salul, he said that going to fight with this odds against us is not fighting, is committing suicide. These people are going to crush us. Because the Munafiq way, he got the trust in the help and the power of Allah Ta'ala. So he turned away. The other excuse he made, that in the Mashura, what I said was not accepted. So when what I said was not accepted, why must I go and fight? I don't have to fight in that case. So he turned away. So these two tribes of the Ansar, they also thought we also should go away. But Allah showed further on them and made their hearts strong, and they remained. And there is an indication in the air that when you are consuming haram, whether your money is haram or the things you are eating are haram, the clothes you are wearing haram, the house you are living in is haram, tainted with haram. When that is the case, the effect of that is you become weak in your decisions. You become a coward. You don't want to follow the commands of Allah. The influence of the dunya overtakes you, and then you submit to the influences of the people, etc. That is also a cause why the Muslims have got no spine left in them. And they can't even think straight because of the consumption of haram. And the enemy have decided, and this is one of their 4-point plans, that they will make the money of the Muslims haram by all this what is called Islamic banking and Islamic finance. And they will make what we eat is haram. Before, many of us might remember, chicken was a rare commodity that we ate. Today, it is all the time we are eating. This whole reversal, they planned it like that. And that chicken, which was pure and halal before, they made sure that it is the worst type of haram the people consume. So when we are eating haram, our money is haram, then we haven't got the spine to stand up for Islam. And in fact, anyone who stands up for Islam, we try and put him down also. And we just support the ways of the kuffar, and that we accept. So because this is such an important matter, now Allah brought it out that the basic of your money must be halal. And the basic principle of Islam, our economic system, is on non-interest based. And the whole capitalist system fully is interest-based. That is the major difference between the economic policy of Islam and of the non-believers. That ours is totally non-interest-based, theirs is fully interest-based. And that is the difference. And Allah Ta'ala has made this completely haram. So that is being discussed now in these ayat. May Allah let we, as we understand we have to make namaz, let us also understand to earn halal is also our faraz. And to eat halal is also our faraz. As we understand to lie is haram, to backbite is haram, let us also understand that to our money is must not be haram, there must be no interest in it. Our money also, and what we eat also, we must be very careful what we eat as well. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah.